Here we go. So, good morning, Rabbosai. We were in the middle of the execution of Rabbi Chutzpis HaMetorgamon. We explained who he was, where he came from, and that when he was taken in front of the Roman governor, whoever it was who was carrying out the executions, he said that tomorrow is my 130th birthday, please can I survive till my birthday? And the Roman said to him, what's so special about your birthday? And he said, nothing at all. He said, but if you let me live till my birthday, then I'll be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya Shema tonight and tomorrow. I'll be mekabel on myself, Ol Malchus Shemaim. And the Romans started debating with him. You can see that your God has no power. We've been able to destroy your Beis HaMikdash. We kill all your elders. We kill all the rabbis, etc. And we do it with impunity. And your God does nothing about it because he's powerless. So why do you want to believe in him? Yeah, that's what he asked him. The major says that when Reb Chutzpis heard all this blasphemous talk, he cried, he tore his clothes, he rent his garments, and he was terribly upset about what had been said. For Omar la Kesa, and he said to the Kesa, and he's the second one who's done this. He said, "Oy lecho Kesa." He said, "Woe is you, Kesa. Matasa li yom achron. One day the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to have his revenge on Roimi, for Allah lekechem and on your gods. Yeah, and then you're going to be in trouble. You're the one who's going to lose out." Omar Melech. The Melech said, "Ad mosrais vakechem ze. I've got no more time to debate with this person. He's talking. I don't believe in what he's saying. He's being rude to me." And he commanded him to kill him on the spot. So he did not survive until his 130th birthday. It says that they stoned him, utaluhu, and they hung him. For some reason, the people who were around him, his advisors and his chachovim, they said, you should allow him to be buried. The Melech said so. He said, okay, maskiv, vayavoyu talmidov, vayikperu, vayispeduhu, hesped godov l'choved ma'oid. And he was buried l'choved, and as we discussed last week, there are two versions of exactly where Rabbi Chutzpis HaMetorgamon is buried. They're very near to each other, but there were two versions. I don't know whether the two olos there or not, but in any event, that's what we said. But we said as well, that according to this medrash, according to his medrash, he was executed, but afterwards he was buried b'chovod with hespedim. And that contradicts the Gemara that we learnt in Kedushin Lamates last week, which said that Elisha ben Avuyo went off the derech when he saw that the body of Rabbi Chutzpis HaMetorgamon was being schlepped through the streets and that his tongue was licking the dust, etc., etc. So that's, and he said, Zu Toiro v'zu Sechoro. Is this the reward that Reb Chutzpis HaMetorgamon would get for being such a tzaddik, and now the Rebbeinu Shlom is punishing him in such a way that he's mamash being dragged through the streets? According to our medrash, it's not true. So how do you reconcile the two midrashim? I don't know. There are many stories here that we have learned, and we've learned where there are contradictions in Chazal as to exactly what happened to who. But one of the possibilities is that some say that the Elisha ben Avuyo, there's one girsa in the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamates, that Elisha ben Avuyo, when he saw a dead executed tzaddik being dragged through the streets, but bezoyon, that it wasn't Rabbi Chutzpis HaMetorgamon. In the Gemara, it does say Rabbi Chutzpis HaMetorgamon, which contradicts our medrash, but there's one version, there's one nusach, one girsa in the Gemara, which says it was Rabbi Huda HaNachtoim, that he saw the body of Rabbi Yehuda HaNachtoim b'Bizoyin, and Elisha ben Avuya saw that body, and therefore, and that's when he went off the derech, because he argued Zutar v'Zu Schora. If that's true, that what Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya saw was Rabbi Yehuda HaNachtoim, it's quite possible that the Medrash is entirely accurate here when it says what happened to Rabbi Chutzpis HaMetorgamon. Do we know where the speaker is? Okay, so let's go on to the next one. Yeah, the next one is number 7. V'acharov hoitziu es Rabbi Chania ben Chachinai. I think I mentioned that we're working all together with 8 versions of the Asura Harugei Malchus. Rabbi Chania ben Chachinai is one of them in 5 out of 8. And in Arze Halavon and Adir HaTorah that we say on Tisha B'Av, there are two missing. Although it says at the beginning that there were Asura Harugei Malchus, but it only lists by name, it only lists eight of them. Rabbi Chanina Mechachinai might be one of those that's missing there, according to that one. But there are other Girsas, as I said, there are another two versions of the Asura Harugei Malchus, which do not include Rabbi Chanina Mechachinai, include others instead. So, okay. So, according to this Medrash, as I said, Rabbi Chanina Bechachinai doesn't appear many times in the Gemara and in the Mishnah, only very rarely, but there is a Mishnah in Ovois, which people do know, from Rabbi Chanina Bechachinai. I've forgotten the Nusach of the Mishnah, maybe tomorrow, it'll come back to me, in which he says three things. He said three things, like many of the Tanoim said in the Mishnah in Ovois. Yeah, so Rabbi Chanina ben Chachanai was the next one. Interesting is, Rabbi Chanina ben Chachanai was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. And in fact, he went together with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He went to learn in Rabbi Akiva's yeshiva for 12 years non-stop. The Gemara in Yevomos, I think it is, says that he learned that for 12 years non-stop. One version, again, the Girsa in the Gemara, is Yud Gimel Shonah. After Yud Gimel Shana, he got a letter from his Rebbetzin saying that your daughter is engaged and that she's going to get married very soon. And therefore, would you come home? Would you like to come and attend the chasna? And it seems like from what happened subsequently, it seems like she didn't really expect him to come. In any event, so he did. Yeah, no. So what happened then was that Rabbi Akiva told him, as a Rosh Hashiva, that he should go to the chasna. He didn't want to go. But Rabbi Akiva told him, you ought to go to the chasna. So therefore, he went. He travels to his hometown, and he can't remember where he lives. It says he couldn't remember where he lived. So he sat down outside town at a well, and he waited and he overheard how people, the women who were there, the men, etc., he was going to ask somebody probably, do you know where the family Chachinai is, or Chachinaim, or whatever their name was, the surname, yeah? Where do they live? But it says he overheard his daughter talking. Maybe she was discussing the chasna or something like that. She was drawing water. And he went over to her, and he introduced himself. And he said, can you show me where we live? Anyway, she took him home, and he walked into the house. His wife got such a shock that she dropped dead. It says she got such a shock, she wasn't expecting. Yeah, and it says that he was mispallel for her, and she came back to life. She had chiyas ha-meisim. That's the story there in the Gemara. So this is Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai, somebody who is mechaya meisim, and somebody who is obviously very committed to the Torah. And it says now, the story that's brought down now in Eila Eskara is, in the Eila Eskara, by the way, that we say, we said that in the Eila Eskara that we say in on Yom Kippur, after in Musaf of Yom Kippur, there it's very very short. It just says Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai was one of our story Harugei Malchus, and the Rabbein Shlom sort of we should weep over it, etc. Doesn't give any details of what actually happened to him. But in the Medrash Eila Eskara, he brings down the story of what happened to him when he was brought in front of the Roman executioner, and that Bliyeda we'll discuss tomorrow.
Sunday, hey, of Rabbi Simchi Jakubovitch, Shlita from the Clubhouse, Kamsa and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. This week's Torahway is sponsored the Ilu Nishmas, Maras Etel Bas Aroma Koyen. And as usual, it's in memory of Rabbi Yosef Doib and Shim Mechotzi Itzkevich.
Thank you. I'm going to continue where we left off last week. We left off with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So in many ways, we're just going to try and keep the flow of things from where we were to where we are, and continue. We went through the list of the Chav Yerushalayim, Erev Shul Shechol Bo'es HaShabbos. We spoke about Shema, went through a whole list, and we discussed the domino effect as well, of how you can have one thing lead to the next. When Shabbos is gone, when there's no chinuch, all these reasons it talks about that leads to no respect to Rabbonim. It's time to say Rabbonim. There's a famous story of one of the Gedolim who wanted to daven for the Yom Nerom next to a person he heard screaming, Ich bin agonisht, ich bin agonisht. And then when it finally came to Yom Nerom, finally came to Yom Kippur, You see somebody else gets an aliyah, this guy who was screaming, Ich bin agonisht, ich bin agonisht, I am nothing, for those who speak Yiddish. And then this guy screams, wait, I should be getting the aliyah. Who's this guy to get the aliyah? He says, 1 second, I'm sitting next to you. I thought you kept saying, Ich bin agonisht. He says, yo, but next to that, but I am somebody, you know, next to that. The idea of what it means to be respectful to Rabbanim, it shouldn't be taken, as Rambam says, for nothing. We're meant to challenge, we're meant to grow, we're meant to ask. Someone's asking you not to ask questions. A Bekorach is the flash point where we have to realize and recognize what happens when people try and interpret halacha their way, where it becomes a biased approach. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai has to deal with the fallout of everything that's happened to Am Yisrael at that point. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was trapped inside Yerushalayim. He didn't have the same movement. Abba Sikra, who led the Ben Yamin, told them, I do not have the koich that it takes to stop them. Even leaders within what you might call a zealot group, which wasn't following, they did not have the koich. And this is why when Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is approaching Respion, he says, Ten li yavne v'chochmeho. As it says in the Gemara says very clearly. And the Gemara in Mesechtes Gittin, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, gives criticism of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yosef, according to another one, Rabbi Kiva, said they should have asked Respion to spare Yerushalayim itself. And they speak about the chochmeh was being played away by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is all manipulated from above. But still, what was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's entire call? And the Rishonim run into the defense and they say, no, I think we're missing something. We're missing out the point that he needed to save. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai managed to see the problem was Kabbalish became lip service. While the power of Kabbalish meant that you could forgive Averis, etc., it became a lip service mode. People were using it as an excuse to be able to do whatever they wanted. There wasn't a big deal here going on. No, you know, I didn't have air, carbon. Need something carbon. There's no point, there's no purpose. We shouldn't machavek from the idea of what Kabbalist can do, because we find that even Bolok, who was a Rosh, bought Kabbalist, had some schus. Bolok bought Kabbalist all across the mountaintops to try and curse Am Yisrael when they were camped beneath. And we find that as a reward, he would get Rus, a reward. It's like saying in Machshmei V'zichrein from World War II, had Einikel reestablished Torah. It's not much of a reward for him, but on some level, it's schus. Because the same way we're in the Homan had some level of schussi dainik lechem b'nei bracha became tamini chachamim. There's a nekuda we're trying to make over here that even then you do something small, but bring kabbonis, which we know from what Chazal tell us, he ate most of it. Again, I never understood it, how you have so much room to keep eating meat or trying to do a job, and they're trying to get out. You see, so even kabbonis itself are fantastically powerful thing, and yet Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai understood that they had lost already the koyach that made Am Yisrael so special. Being able to stand there by in front of the Roman Emperor and ask yourself, what is it that I need to save Am Yisrael? Isn't just physically, it's spiritually. Who are you? What are we? I find this often what we do, as I said, with a club, I can have an ex-yeshiva boy who will come up to me. And people think he's not interested in anything. It's not true. They are. You can even suffer from burnout, exposure, things we're not aware that we don't see. And I've seen this, I saw this just the other year. I dealt with two bochum who went to yeshiva. They weren't opposed to the Yiddishkeit. As one bochum said, I'm just trying to really connect. And everyone thinks I'm just off the derech. I'm just really trying to connect. And the outside, they might think it's ridiculous. The kid doesn't keep anything. He's just... And these boys are very honest. No, I spoke to one of them. Again, variables. We have variables. But in Besach HaKol, you've got this young man who's saying to me, if I could connect to Yiddishkeit, I would do it in a heartbeat. And what's the problem? All my life, I'm told to parrot Gemara. I'm told to parrot Yiddishkeit. Parrot. And this is a sakana that you face with learning. You can take a bochur from to yeshiva, put him in through the machine, and nothing's hitting home, because all it is ticking a box. And we've spoken about ticking boxes. Ticking boxes, as I've always said, a box is for the dead. You put a dead person in the box. The living don't go into a box. Okay, and it's a minute Yerushalayim. Let's not go there. The point is, when it comes to a Yid needs to serve Hashem with fire. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai understood the fire, the Mizbeach, wasn't enough. You had to really light up something more special and just have people bring Kabbalah. He said, I'd rather save Am Yisrael at the core. Bring the Talmid Chacham, bring Yavna, do everything I can. Further than that, we take a look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, we just had the Devarim here. At the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Parshas Devarim, Moshe looks at the burden of leading Am Yisrael, the klal, and he says it in Pasuk. He says it Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes. Actually, the Rachaim others say something quite powerful and scary, that because he took this approach, he lost a certain level of Nevuah and prophecy he would have been able to gain, even that sounds impossible, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was spread out among the Canaan. But regardless, the idea of leading you can be incredibly burdensome. What does it mean to lead Am Yisrael can be so incredibly burdensome? And again, a stubborn nation isn't a bad thing. I'll never forget growing up, my bubba, my both sides, my mothers, my fathers, I would see both mothers. But the one here in Stamford Hill, Olava Shalim, she was tough as nails. She was loving and caring, don't get me wrong, but she was strong. You know, very independent, but very, very, very strong. She watched her father get shot and murdered. She watched the whole family. They had a mansion that was taken. Everything. They were strong. And they were strong. And I asked my brother, how do you do it? How do you? You went through the Holocaust. You lost so much. I was a bit older at the time. I asked the very gentle man about how do you do it? She said, do you want me to burn out from the fire? Do you want me to dance in it? I said, do you want me to dance in it? I'll dance. There's a derech. I want the Yidnu Taka came out. Came out stronger. But we call that a stiff-necked nation. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't wrong. It was a compliment to Am Yisrael. The best way I can describe it, you have a rabbi leading you for 40 years. You've got your banner, I'm going to miss you, I love you. And he starts shouting at you. You're in action. You don't stop schmoozing and davening. Your banner goes down pretty quickly. You know, party poppers are all gone. But if you stop and think what your rabbi is telling you, he's stuck there speaking from a place of love. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't saying this is a terrible quality. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying this is your godless. That you're so stubborn. It's incredible. There's nothing like you. Moshe Rabbeinu's comment. This week's parsha, Taka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him where it is. And again, our Chaim says, doesn't call it a telescope, but he says in place of what people put in front of their eyes to see Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu visually could see the whole Eretz Yisrael. He was given what he wanted without going into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, our Chaim explains it in a few places throughout the Torah, that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone to Eretz Yisrael, that the Beis Hamikdash would have survived. Whoever Moshe Rabbeinu built as a rule cannot be destroyed. And instead, Am Yisrael would have been destroyed. So he knew that he shouldn't be going into Eretz Yisrael. Not just that, Koyach HaTfilah is a very important thing to highlight. I always find it fascinating that the fact that Koyach HaTfilah, I had a kid once ask me, a very sweet kid, 10-year-old, he said to me, how does it work? Is there anything, you know, these questions you get from him, what's stronger than Hashem? You know, you get this quiz, nothing can be strong. I answered him, Tfilah, davening. He said, how? Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said, please don't daven one more time. You daven one more time, I have to give in to you. It's a rule that Hashem made as a father who loves his children. Daven to me. It can work. It can get rid of any gezeirah. Oh, but Moshe Rabbeinu, if you do this, you should know. Then the Beis HaMikdash will stay. Well, Am Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was like a mother. He was like, oh, no, I can't. Am I Am Yisrael? No way. I can see it. Oh, but Moshe Rabbeinu tells Am Yisrael, because of you, Derech, of your actions, I couldn't speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly because I'm your leader. The leader carries the responsibility. So I couldn't. More than that, the Rachaim says, when it came to leadership, Rachaim last expression that the leaders themselves had to have the quality of each shevet that was given, understood the shevet. Who understood, he was one of the people. He understood where they were coming from. Leadership means I can come bring myself down to the level of the people. Moshe Rabbeinu could do it for all of Am Yisrael. The shtick wasn't finding a leader that Am Yisrael could, he's the God of Hadar, he can learn to. He can connect with me as the person. The leader is literally the Keli, through everything is channeled through him. This is again, it's a powerful thing. The more people you lead, the more powerful the voice you have, which we've discussed in the past why Bilam had such powerful. But leadership has to be someone who connects to the people. And that's why the Marshal says, we look about a Koyan leadership has to be able to be somebody who can actually cry with the person, feel for the person. Over. I can give him Gita Musa. And while the Gedolim said before he was Nifta, I apologize to anybody I offended in my Musa Shmuzin. And I apologize even more for those who I didn't offend. You have to know how you lead. And the Kohuna is the balance. So when we look at the Marshal, Marshal's point is, yes, 100% love, Harna Koin. Oh, but look at Pinchas. Pinchas ben Lozah ben Aharon HaKohen. He was the one who knew how to counter the balance. He knew, look, I've got to kill Zimri ben Soli. It's not a comfortable thing to do. I'm going to ask that story, I'm going to research it, but I've got to do it. Okay? Again, no one can have Please don't. But nobody can ever copy what Pinchas was on that level. We can't achieve that. Somebody to reach that level, to become a Leo Anovi, again, a leader has to be able to strike that balance. And Kahuna is more demanding than anyone, which is why the Mashal puts it into the bracket, which the Gemara and Shabbos Kifrit Tetzam in the base does not mention it outright, but he says Kahuna. And it says furthermore, Moshe says to Hashem, talking about leadership, Loma Hari Yisrael Avdecho V'loma Lo Yimotzozi Chein Be'inecho. Again, he's not complaining, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm appreciative of the job, but why have you put this responsibility onto me? There's such a difficult nation. I can see this entire people. If I actually give birth to them, they're too heavy, that's too much. What does it mean to lead Am Yisrael? It means you carry them in your arms like a caregiver, Chazal said. A Novi had to really care for them. They had to be. The very Navia, when she sat under the palm tree, it's one heart, it's one leg. She could feel for them. She could cry for them. She knew what it meant to actually feel for another person. I was once, to meet somebody who still met, I was a little boy, the Chazanish. And he was, I think he was 95 and I think I was 10. And he was in London for whatever reason at the time. And when you're young, you don't appreciate it as much. Somebody said, and there was a few people, I was very young. We lived, I think, I was 9 at the drive. I'll never forget.